We operate more than 500 boreholes, and we've got six water treatment, water purification plants. I'm not going to mention them because we have brought copies, about 15 copies for the members of the committee. But those purification plants are in Mafikeng, in Ramuteri area, which is Zira, and also in the Swoboda or Ituseng area. And we have achieved 97% in terms of compliance with the SANS 241 in terms of the quality of the water. For this financial year, Honorable Chair, we received a qualified report on, and that was in relation of two areas, the trade payables, because of the lack of supporting documentation. And what we have done, as I've indicated, that this financial year coincided with the first, it's the first year of this present board. What we have done is that we have put in internal controls in terms of the PFMA in making sure that in future, for whatever we procure, there will always be supporting documentation. In respect of the trade receivables, we have a long-standing challenge of the debtors and also their age analysis. And what we have done up to thus far is that we have reconciled all the trade receivables, and that reconciliation has managed us to put, we know what balances in terms of the trade receivables are at the present juncture. We also received a matter of emphasis, and it was in terms of the long overdue balances owed by the bulk and retail customers. As I've indicated, we have done reconciliation, particularly in respect of the bulk customers, and we show that we know who is owing us how much after we have done that because of the challenges which we had when the new board took over. Another matter of emphasis is the debt which we are owing to the department. We are in the discussion with the department and for the purchases of raw water, and that matter is receiving the attention between the two institutions. Just to quickly take this committee, Honorable Chair, is that the revenue during this financial year decreased by 10% from that of 2006-2007. Basically, last week we reported that our tariff was not changed for over a two-year period, to an extent that affected the income for the board, but we have since rectified that in terms of the new budget which we have put in place. The other issue which comes out sharply is our operating expenses. They increased by 30% from 2006-2007, mainly due to the following. Let me deal with bullet number two first, the consulting and professional fees. As I've indicated, before this present board was appointed, there was a six-month gap where this institution operated without the board. And when it had to come on board, it had to appoint a professional for respect to assist it to be able to deal with lots of challenges around what it found in the organization. And this resulted in the board getting forensic and legal experts to assist it to deal with some of the matters we have reported about, some of the disciplinary cases around fraud and corruption which the board found in the organization. And employee cost was in relation to some of the employees whom, when the board came, they decided to leave because of the previous alleged misconduct or financial misconduct. Stock losses, the board, when it was appointed, it found lots of problems, mismanagement around our stock, to an extent that it was a culture that whenever goods were procured, the next day they left the plant or they are stolen and so forth and so forth. And but these gaps have been, I will indicate as I move in terms of the turnaround strategy. The repairs and maintenance, because of the challenges of mismanagement, the board had to incur a lot of expenses around the repairs and the maintenance. Obviously, where you find mismanagement, ill-discipline, operating expenses such as telephone and fax, while they might look small in terms of the overall operation of the organization, they have a huge implication for the running of the organization. So these areas are clearly covered in our AFS. To that extent, the board had to conduct, in fact, the shareholder, which is the department, requested the board to come up with the turnaround strategy. And before that, before the turnaround strategy could be crafted, we had to conduct what we call organizational diagnosis to firstly satisfy ourselves what are the main challenges. And in this slide, we are indicating all the challenges which the board found, which will be the understanding of the full water processes, budgeting and cash management, sales that that has, and I'm not going to mention all of them, both on the areas of the financial management, human resource management, and our operational efficiencies. So all these bullets are covered, and I'll show when we get into the turnaround strategy. So we then, early this year, after we have engaged with the department and together with the assistance of other sister water boards, we then developed a turnaround strategy which we have since submitted to the department. That turnaround strategy is anchored on the three pillars. The first one is revenue enhancement, because the board had to deal with challenges around what do we make sure that the revenue which is supposed to come into the organization comes into the coffers of the organization. And we then looked at the second pillar, which is the cost containment. What we get, how do we make sure that we contain it properly? The last one is the operational efficiency. All the three combined, they will then lead us into what we consider as business excellence. Now, these three slides which are coming is just to go into the detail, just to briefly indicate what revenue enhancement is all about. And we are saying that we have to ensure that we adhere to the approved policies, which the board has already approved and adopted. We are dealing with the debt collection strategy. Unfortunately, because of the time allocated to us, we would indicate as to how far we have gone in terms of collecting debt from other debtors. And some of the debts we are closing, and we are making sure that those who are supposed to pay are paying us, and we are entering into some agreements. We have also engaged National Treasury in terms of the Municipal Finance Management Act and the requisite prescripts of the Treasury regulations. And we have also put in place integrated financial management system. What the board found was disparate or totally different systems, financial systems, which were not talking to themselves. As I'm talking now, after a lot of work, we have now put that system into place, and it is operational from the 1st of July this year. And bill all revenue streams properly and timely. This was one of the major challenges. What we have done is that now we have updated our bill. As I'm talking, we are now billing our all the municipalities or the Water Services Authority on time, and they are also paying us as required. But the debts, as I've indicated, we are still dealing with them and managing the timing of the cash flows. This is to make sure that the board, on a monthly basis, they receive the cash flow status of the organization, and we are doing that to make sure that the board is up to date in terms of knowing where the challenges are. We have also developed a system where we're making sure that we look at our compliance with Section 34 of the Water Services Act, which says that there are five criteria which you must look at when you deal with the question of the financial viability of a board. And we have tried to put that as a criteria to always look at them so that we consider whether we are moving or not. Cost containment, this is to ensure that as we look at the efficient management of credit cycles, how we pay, because originally when the board came in, there was no clear timelines in where we are paying our creditors, and that was also a problem. Now we have established in terms of when do we pay creditors, when do we make sure that when we get the services or the goods from them, how should we deal with that? And we manage the budget and the vis-a-vis the actual, as I've indicated, the cash flow management assists us to make sure that we deal with that. And we review and monitor the operating expenditure on a regular basis and the better utilization of our fixed assets. Operational efficiency, this is more about looking at the correct measurement of water which comes in and water which goes out. And we look at the balance of that water. And we also deal with the issue of the water loss management plan. Supply chain control, as I've indicated, that when the board came in, all issues in relation to financial management was a challenge. And to that extent, we have made sure that our supply chain management is bolstered and we are implementing it vigorously. And we have also put in the stores control system to ensure that we reduce and minimize corruption and theft in those particular stores. And we are also controlling the other HR-related issues such as overtime and benefits related to the staff. To that extent, we have removed lots of unnecessary benefits which are not in terms of the basic conditions of employment. And employees are earning what they are supposed to earn and what they are in relation to the work they're doing. In conclusion, we are saying that to some extent, our analysis when we are doing the diagnosis was that this board, from where it stands up to today, it has the challenge of a 10-year cumulative mismanagement. And whilst we are engaging with the department, we are making a point that the oversight at some point might have been also a challenge around the board itself as an institution, more especially that there were other forensic investigations which were done to understand that they have clearly shown that if this board could have been had that requisite oversight and support, chances are that it would be floating like all other water boards which are doing very well. And we are saying that since the appointment of this board, major obstacles have been, we have gone over those major obstacles, and we hope that this report, whilst it is giving us a qualified report, we have put in systems to avoid the challenges which have been experienced by this water board. And on that note, Chair, as I've indicated, we brought in the hard copies for the members of the committee to read them at their leisure. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Boti. That was Butsilo Water. Butsilo Water, we've got to take a 2 minutes to presentation now, because your conclusion didn't indicate all these things that you written. We are going to take Amadola now. Amadola, please stick to your 10 minutes, because I see your report is so thick. Zama kuti sisibethe ngesikit. And then we'll give to members after we've taken about 3 of these water boards, and then we'll give to members for questions and clarity. Amadola, over to you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Honorable Portfolio Committee members, the person of water boards, and CEOs of water boards and the colleagues. Amadola Water will be presenting this short presentation, which is going to be less than 10 minutes, I promise. Myself, Notem Bablo, is the chairperson of the board, and Craig Stepp, the acting CEO of Amadola Water, will be doing the presentation. Briefly, our mandate is to render water services to water sector institutions in local government authorities and to other customers as defined in the legislation and water service policies of South Africa. And our vision is to be a service provider of choice of the water sector in this state. I'll just deal with the operational background and the 10-year review. Amadola Water is a state-owned water utility which was established in November 1997 following the Water Services Act, which is Act 108 of 1997. We have been operational since 1998 as a water board, and our designated area of operation is about 45,794 square meters. That is only from 2002. We started with 11,000 square meters, That is the error designated by the Government Gazette that we are supposed to be servicing. This area includes the Buffalo City Municipality, Amatole District Municipality, and portions of Chris Rani District Municipality, Ukashamba and Sapato District Municipality. Our offices are located in East London and Gibson. Our production capacity is 10274 megaliters of potable water per day, and 72.1 megaliters is going to Amatole District Municipality, and 21.9 megaliters per day going to Buffalo City Municipality. That water comes from 10 dams that are situated in Amatole District Municipality and 16 smaller dams and 12 treatment plants that we are managing. We also do secondary services to water service authorities and water service providers. That will include the laboratory services to the municipalities. That will also include the reticulation to some industries like Dagama and also to the tourist attraction areas like your Mpegweni holiday resort. The review of the over the 10-year period that we've been in existence, we've had continuous growth in total volumes, and also we've sustained our secondary business across the sector. Our production and network losses have reduced to 4.99% and 5.37% respectively. Our potable water quality has achieved 99.26% as per SAMS 241. This has been evidenced by the blue water drop certificates that we obtained when DWARF introduced the blue water status that all our plants that are operated by Amatola Water is actually above the quality levels that are set. The institutional reform remains a challenge as a role player who are committed also to this particular process. We are actually taking also a leading role in the Eastern Cape in actually making the point that the institutional reform, the institutional realignment actually, we are steering it in the sense that we also did a proposal which we put to the department for the department to look into it. And in that particular proposal, we actually positioning Amatola Water to be a bulk service water service provider for the Eastern Cape so that we can achieve the quality water for everybody in the Eastern Cape. Also, technical skill shortages have prompted Amatola Water to increase the operator training programs within the province. What prompted us to do this was the fact that most of our process controllers were recruited by the municipalities, and we ended up having to recruit every day. And we realized this capacity problem in the province, and then we started a program whereby we train process controllers for the municipalities so that we can be able to have enough staff or that the municipalities can be able to source the qualified people to do their plans. At that level, I'll just hand over to Craig Stepp to elaborate more on the operational issues.
Morning, Honourable Chair and Committee Members and Fellow Water Board colleagues. Amatola Water's area of coverage is, and I'll show it there, that is the Eastern Cape. We are designated within the central region of the Eastern Cape, covering the Amatola District Municipality, Buffalo City, and small portions of Chris Hani and Tadu. However, that is our primary designation in terms of where we own infrastructure. We are active within the greater area of the Eastern Cape, and as per our vision, that is where we want to be within the next few years, is covering the whole of the Eastern Cape. We are managed by a management committee, that is the committee as of 2008, with four divisions dealing with the various aspects of the Water Board. In terms of just the highlights from the CEO's point of view, business has grown significantly, but mostly geographically, not in terms of rands and cents, but our area of coverage. As a result of our balanced management team, we're able to respond fairly quickly. We can cover all areas in terms of needs, be it whether it's HR, whether it's financial, whether it's actual operational. And we have a strong working relationship with DRAF National. We always have had, and we feel that is one of our strengths, and we're building on our regional relationship as well. we have embarked to assist local authorities, and we market ourselves fairly aggressively within the Eastern Cape to assist with backlogs. Unfortunately, backlogs have to be dealt with by the municipality, but we do offer skills where needed in those areas. We also have strong cooperation within the regional departments, particularly education and public works of the Eastern Cape. We support them in a number of interventions, and I'll cover that as well. And then we're also involved with the learning institutions of our area, Rhodes University, Walter Sisulu, and Nelson Mandela, together with Forte. We have a number of MOUs, and we're actively involved in research work and assistance where we can place students particularly. Amatola is centered around performance management and around four key strategies. Our number one strategy is to support national, provincial, and local government. And in that, we commit to all spheres of government. That covers backlog eradication. At the moment, we are active in the DCM area, the Oakhamba area, and the ADM area in terms of actively involved in a backlog program. We're involved in rural school sanitation programs, those are with departments of education, where we are rolling out school sanitation in some really rural areas, particularly in the Old Transkei, the Chris Hani area. And that is extended to a draft rollout program with regards to sanitation as well. We also handle most of the rural police stations, prisons, and provide their sanitation and the potable water treatment. That is mostly in the western area, Port Elizabeth and the surrounding areas, and it's starting to move towards the eastern side of the Eastern Cape. We manage dams on behalf of DWAF, and we're also involved in updating WSDPs at municipal level. We assist them with the updating of their information. Objective number two, to promote institutional reform. We're an active member in the Provincial Steering Committee and Task Team. At the last meeting, it was assessed that Amatola had the all-round performance and ability to form a core of any new sort of regional entity that would be formed coming out of institutional reform. So it's one of our areas where we are positioning ourselves should there be changes within the current structures and we move closer to the municipal type structure, we would be ready to be absorbed into that sort of system. Objective number three is looking at our staff. That's to become the preferred employer. We spend 4% of our payroll, which is the norm set down particularly in the BBB legislation. We really are proud. We filled 32% of our positions last year were filled from internal candidates, which shows that our development out of the training is actually allowing us to look at recruitment within the organization, particularly when there's a scarcity from the external point of view. Avoidable staff turnover, 5.9%. It's less than our target set at 7.5%. Industry norms are running well in excess of 15% at the moment. And then our learnership program. Chair did allude to it. We have a number of young learners from the communities where we service, where our water treatment works are. And last year, 14 out of 15 were employed by Amatola as Class 1, Class 2 operators, with an additional 25 entering the program, and we're now up to roughly in excess of 60 in that learnership program. So we are trying to skill up from the bottom up, specifically within our industry. We are accredited to do training through the TETA, and that helps quite a lot in getting this program off the ground. Our last objective is looking at the organization. And in terms of performance, we achieved 2.4% variance to our budget. In other words, pretty much what we budgeted for, we spent, which is always a tough situation to stay within your guidelines. Tariff increases, we maintained a 1.4% tariff increase below CPI and transferred that on to our municipalities. Employee costs at the moment constitute 32.5% of total cost. We are a very geographically spread out organisation, and unfortunately that does put a bit of pressure in terms of the number of staff that you need to service the area. Stands 2-for-1 potable water, we achieved 99%. And as the discussions were held last week around spending on CapEx, we spent 23 million of a budget of 19 million. So we were actually ahead of our capital programme. This is just a broad of the audit opinion or the audit report. I will go into more detail and highlight specific areas. We received a clear audit last year.
Can you do that within 3 minutes? You are left with 3 minutes.
I've just got two slides left. Emphasis of math is the only item which It's not a qualification, but it's just emphasizing that the reader of the financials must go deeper in, and this is around ownership of assets. We're 10 years into the organization, and we still haven't taken title of assets transfers from DRAS. However, going forward in this current financial year, DRAS has given us the final authority to move on that issue, and we are at the lawyers at the moment in terms of trying to take title. This process will take a fairly long time, as we have to get the surveyor general involved, we've got to get servitudes for pipelines. It's a lot of old Siskar area where a lot of these properties don't even have titles officially at the deeds office. Then in terms of our performance, the other requirement is to actually handle our performance, and that has been audited by the auditors and found that we are meeting the requirements in terms of performance and performance assessment. Just in terms of the balance sheet, areas that we had growth in our PPE, property side, so it indicates the spend on the capital side. We're sitting with a zero coupon bond of $41 million that matures now in September. We'll receive $50 million, and this money will be turned straight back into capital projects. Overall, we are comfortable with our balance sheet and feel it is fairly strong. In terms of the income statement, this is my last slide. You'll see our turnover jumped dramatically from $106 million to $200 million last year. In terms of our primary activity, very close numbers to what we've been doing, but the big jump is management fees. We took over a contract where we serviced Chris Harney with management services, and roughly about $72 million went through the books in that regard. And that's really where our focus now is moving, is to look at the support side and the income that we'll generate from that side. That is the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your financial analysis, I don't know whether it's only my copy, she does not have those changes. What are you hiding? Why don't you members of parliament have that? Because I don't have that, and next to me she doesn't have. I don't know about other members. Then there is no use for us to sit here, so that's precisely why we are here.
There was a revision to the presentation which was emailed to you on Friday.
We don't have that. I don't have. I don't know about other members.
I'm not going into a layer on that.
Thank you very much. That was Amatola Water. Sizawuthatha bathika nayo. Which battery?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The presentation is divided into two. That will be myself, the Chairperson, Nyakane Maluka, as well as the Acting Chief Executive, Mr. Letswalo. We shall start with the overview of the entire report and the annual report. The volume itself was distributed last week. The report itself was distributed last week. The overview will actually cover the background, the vision, the non-financial performance, the financial performance, the auditor's report, the achievements, as well as the major challenges, then the conclusion. In terms of, we are not going to deal with the acronyms. They are in the annual report itself. When you look at the background of the Bushbuck Ridge Water Board, it was also established in 1997, just like Amatola, as a means of redressing the past imbalances as well, in terms of the Water Services Act. Our mandate is to provide water to the Water Services Authorities. and the area of operation is within the Bushbuckridge local municipality, as well as the Ntsikazi area of the Mbombela local municipality. Initially, Bushbuckridge was under Limpopo, and the Mbombela was under Mpumalanga, but currently under the year under the review. Under review, they are both under the Mpumalanga province. In terms of the legislative imperative, we are complying to the Public Finance Management Act, the Municipal Finance Management Act, the Water Services Act, as well as partially to the National Water Act. The area of operation within the Bushbuckridge local municipality, we are operating 10 water works, and when you look into our annual report, that will be found on page 20, where we are producing 60 megaliters per day to the population of about 1 million. And then in the Mbombela local municipal area, we are producing 80 megaliters per day to a population of about 700,000. And then that is followed by the board of directors, who are 8 in number, who were appointed in 2006, and the term of office is coming to an end in February next year. We did not have any resignation. The next one talks to the committees of the board, which is the executive, the finance, human resource, business development, technical, as well as the audit committee, in terms of the compliance to the PFMA. And we also have the management structure there. Then the next one is just about the service area, which I've already spoken to. Then our mission, and followed by the vision and values, I'd like to emphasize on the vision, which is to be the best public water service utility in the entire country. And then the values that are also, I'm not going to talk to, because we have distributed the annual report last week. That will be followed by the summary to the performance report itself. Our strategic objectives there are compacted into four. The first one being to explore and exploit the strategic ways for organization financial sustainability and business development, followed by the provision of support to our clients, then continuous participation in community development through corporate social responsibility, as well as the provision of sustainable water and sanitation services. When you look into the non-financial performance, taking further our strategic goals, the first one we have achieved on the organizational stability, because we are still operating within the area and the relationship has been improved. And the second bullet talks to the strengthening of organizational capacity by filling in the critical vacancies. We had a vacancy of the chief financial officer, which was filled in, as well as the internal auditor. Those were the two critical positions that were filled in, and also we have made it a point that the areas that needed training were indeed trained, as well as the education of staff and putting in place the appropriate policies. When you look at page 49, we have put in place the fraud prevention as well as the procurement policy in place, and also the delegation of authorities, more especially to the chief executive. And we have that table that talks about the filling in of positions and the resignations and the retired, as well as those who have passed away. When you look at the number of our staff who passed away, it's at 7. And mainly most of them are actually related to the HIV pandemic. And then the summary on the non-financial, as we continue, we have the first goal again, which talks to, when you look at page 14 to 17, it talks to the improvement on the good governance by ensuring that we comply to the relevant legislation, and also the organizational visibility. We have introduced the month-to-month contact that we are having with the Mbombela municipality has been taken further to the signing of a legal, signing of a, not signing, but signing the interim agreement with Bushbuckridge local municipality, which moved from 1 million to 3 million monthly, as well as the broad-based black economic empowerment, which has turned to the expenditure to 80%. The relationship with Samoa and Nahau has also been improved. We have a problem with the lack of improvement to the debt collection to our clients, and also the proper consultation with the National Treasury as well as the municipalities. We have improved on the tariff review. The second goal, which is provision of support to our clients, we did not do as much as we could have wanted to do that due to lack of funds, which are actually minimizing our performance. In terms of goal number 3, which is continuous participation, we have established what is called the Bushbuckridge Water Foundation, and we have developed programs on water conservation that is detailed on page 51. But what we have done here was to educate water conservation and water demand management to schools as well as circuit offices, 3 schools to be specific, and 3 circuit offices. And then goal number 4, we have increased our volume on potable, not portable, potable water by 4% as compared to the previous year. We have improved here. And then we have also enhanced infrastructure performance through routine maintenance and refurbishment of three plants, as well as compliance with our water quality standards in terms of the South African National Standards 241. And that is also a detail from the pages that are indicated there. And I'll hand over for now the financial performance to the acting chief executive. Over to you, Mapolo.
The financial performance, those figures and everything, I think we as members will have to go through that. We don't have to take us through that. Maybe we can take us through the independent auditor's report and the rest. But please be brief, I give you only 3 minutes.
Okay.
So please cut along with Basara.
We received a qualified audit report with instances of matter. The basis of qualification was based on the growing concern, as we highlighted previously, the issue of collecting recovering the outstanding amounts from the municipality, and issues leading to the long-term service level agreements. The other issue is the fixed assets, of which we didn't comply with the International Accounting Standard 16, that is AC 302, if I'm correct. And due to the fact that we are supposed to reevaluate all the assets that are in our position, the other issue was the inventory evaluation, of which during the stock count, the auditors were not satisfied the way we did the stock count. The emphasis of matter was raised due to the fixed assets transferred to our institution without transferring the ownership by DWAF. It's been a matter that has been in our audit report, I think, for quite long. The forensic audit report, again, I think previously the chairperson spoke about the forensic that was conducted in 2006. Because we haven't recovered that amount of money. The other issue, it was we exceeded our borrowing limits. The minister always approved the borrowing limits, but with us as an institution, if you check on the financial performance, there is a loan of about 2.5 million, and that's why we exceeded our borrowing limits by 196,000. And the other issue that was reportable is the issue of under declaration of VAT. We discovered during the end of the financial year that we under-declared our VAT, and our VAT, as I'm talking currently, that amount of money has been paid to SARS, the 3.2 million, including the interest. Chairperson, the major achievements, as we said, the appointment of the chief financial officer, which is me, the manager internal audit. We improved relations during this financial year. We improved the relationships with our stakeholders. We complied with SARS, the MFMA, in relation with tariff and other corporate governance issues. And we the BEE discretional use, we attained that to 30%, increased our production, and we improved the customer services, whereby we respond to issues within 24 hours. And we say it's an achievement because we're receiving only 1 million from the municipality. Now it's sitting at 3 million starting from 2008 May. We even supported the ICMA in their activities. The major challenge, as we said, as it has been raised as a matter of going concern, the poor cost recovery. The credit control was implemented but mitigated through the court order. That tells you about the relationship that was very strained between us and the municipality. And the allegation of poor water quality in Mbombela local municipality, we
we are affected because we are at the lower streams, and due to the activities that are happening at the upper streams of Crocodile River, we have a challenge with manganese, and we have got a problem with manganese and iron in our water, and the plant is not designed to deal with that matter. And again, the challenge is during dry seasons, you know, drought continues to affect our production. Reluctance by the water services to sign the long-term service level agreement. Bushbuck Ridge Local Municipality was disputing the volume of water supplied to them, but currently we sorted the matter because we had to install the meter that has been installed. I think it is shown on the projects that we undertook. We complete the uncompleted Section 78 processes, of which is a challenge again. The existence of our water board, it was a challenge because during this year under review, we couldn't even expand. There was a cloud of being disestablished, and when we went to the municipalities, it was said we can't extend any contract with you due to the fact that we will be disestablished, and of which currently still a challenge now to revive the spirit of expanding our operations, and that will lead to our viability. And the other issue is the involvement of the water services authorities in the governance of the board, of which they wanted to be part of the board, and it's one of the challenges that we are having in our area of operation. And the high level of debt that we are having with the district, the disestablished Mutabela District Municipality, of which now is sitting with Bushbuck Ridge Local Municipality, is about 26 million. The infrastructure problem, currently as I'm talking, some of the infrastructure, you know, is very expensive to run those plants. The going concern, as highlighted in the audit report, and staff retention, we almost have a lot of resignation. It's due to the fact that we can't, you know, given the challenges that we are having as a water board being disestablished and all those other things, we are failing even to retain some of the staff. Chairperson, just to acknowledge the Mbombela Local Municipality and Bushbuck Ridge Municipality, if it wasn't both these municipalities, we couldn't have been where we are currently as we are operating, because it was more or less seen as being a water board that won't be viable at all. Salga, Mpumalanga, the Dwarf, SAU, and member utilities, the accounting authority, organized labor and management and staff. Thank you.
Thank you for this. Although you went beyond 3 minutes, took the whole 5 to 6 minutes. I was just asking the staff in the chairperson's office whether did they make it clear to the presenters that for the sake of the new committee, we must try our best not to use abbreviation. We must use full names of all the issues that you're talking about, because we come from different sectors here and different fields and different spheres. So we don't understand some of the issues that you're talking about here, especially when you put in the abbreviations. You can't make out what it is that you're talking about. I'm again pleading with yourself. Even if you've written it on your submission, try your best then, when you read through them, mention the full name of that that we're talking about. Thank you very much. The last one now before the questions will be CDB.
Good morning, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. Also, Board Chairperson, Chief Executive, and other senior executives. Debian Water's presentation will focus mainly on introduction, area of supply, corporate governance, major achievements and challenges, and then finally I'll be doing the financial performance. Our annual report is underpinned by long-term strategies of the organization. The annual report provides progress on all strategic imperatives that are embedded in the shareholders' compact, and the ongoing strategic reviews aligned to performance management, because the organization has got a performance management system for the organization and individuals, and as well as short interval business reviews focused on key priorities. This presentation is based on performance review and audited financial statements. For a start, Sidibeng Water is operating in three provinces, the Free State, the Northern Cape, and the Northwest. And its business is divided into two sections. One is the supply of bulk water, and the other is supply of water from source to tap. That's mainly in the Northwest. In the Northern Cape and the Free State is only bulk water supply. The following are the municipalities with which we are dealing with. In the Free State, it's Machabeng Local Municipality, Nala. Makwasi is in the Northwest, however, it's classified as one of the municipalities in the Free State. In the Northwest, we are operating at Dr. Ruth Mbati, Kokwane. Although it's in the Northern Cape, it's classified under Northwest for the sake of operation, Khasonyane, Mushawe. And then the Northern Cape, we are operating at the following: Francis Bar, Satabane, John Taul, Khayesu, Khamakhara, and Dikhatlo. The area of service is about 18,000 square kilometers. The board is actually run by committees, and we have got the following committees which are operating and ensuring that things are happening. I'll move straight to major achievements. I think we think financially we have been able, you know, to prudently, you know, kept our costs and were financially viable. And in terms of operational processes, we feel we're doing well. We have been able, you know, to cut our water losses, especially in the Northwest and the Northern Cape, in the Free State and the Northern Cape regions, where our water losses at 2.2%. Understandably so, that's the bulk water supply. We're having challenges in the Northern Cape, where it's a retail from source to tap. Our water quality has met both plus one and plus two. Especially in the Northwest, it's mainly plus two because of the challenges that we're having in terms of the some of the treatment works that we're operating. In terms of the expenditure, we're sitting at 65%, and then we managed to spend the 20 million on refurbishment and maintenance. In terms of market development, we just acquired Barha Makara scheme. You see, when you look at our financials, that there's a jump in terms of employees and all that, because we just acquired that particular scheme. And then we also have been working as implementing agents appointed by the Department of Water Affairs, mainly regional, on different type of schemes to assist them to ensure that water is delivered, and also monitoring some of the projects that are being implemented. We have also been assisting the Sandfed water catchment, water utilization agent, and in training their operators and ensuring that, you know, they understand the sector. The scientific service support on water and wastewater treatment. In terms of recruitment and development of employees, we financially assisted 34 employees. We have got 98 students under APET on various levels. We had a learnership in water purification process, which is we had 25 enrollment, and most of the people managed to pass. And 80% of the unemployed learners who participated in the above program were absorbed within the organization or into the local municipalities. We also had experiential training of six students, and those actually did well as well. In terms of safety and health, in one of the regions, that's the Free State, we have a disabling injury rate of zero for the past 2 years, which we are very much, you know, proud about. And we have been, in terms of the HIV and AIDS program, assisting in campaigns undertaken within the organization and outside, and our employees are receiving voluntary counseling. And yes, we do have challenges. One of the challenges is cost recovery. You'll see when you look at our data says that most of the days are quite a bit heavy. We have got challenges in municipalities paying their dues in time, and also the fact that in terms of contractual agreement, it's very difficult to have, you know, our contract signed over a longer period. I think the longest is about 5 years, except for the mines. And the main other problem that we have is actually in the Northwest, where insufficient budgeting. Whenever we try and budget, you know, the budget is cut, and there are challenges in terms of supply. Other challenges are actually operational, electricity, I think we're quite aware, chemical utilization, because of the quality of raw water that we extract from the Valdev, it's a serious problem. We had a serious problem in the Makwasi Hills, but this has now been solved because we augmented that particular scheme, and it has just been completed right now. In terms of financial performance, again, for the past 4 or 5 years, we have another unqualified audit. This is our briefed consolidated income statement, which is in fact appearing in the report. Our revenue has grown from 276 the previous year to 305, and the cost of sales from 106 to 108. Our gross profit increased from 170 to 197. Other income, especially from the implementing agent work, from 40 to 52. Our operating cost increased from 165 to 197, and then the net operating profit from 44 to 51. And then we have got the net finance charges reducing because we're paying our debt, and then also the net surplus before service delivery. These are especially in areas where we have contracts, you know, for the department to be paying some subsidy. It moved from 8 to 16, obviously because of the acquisition of Vaka Makara scheme and some service delivery claim from 23 to 26, and the net surplus moved from 32 to 56. This is the graphical representation of our financial performance, which indicates from revenue to net surplus. This is our consolidated balance sheet, which moved from 848 to 941. Obviously, we still have to deal with Vaka Makara. Most probably when we have dealt that, it will move more than that. The financial ratios for the past 5 years, our working ratio moved from 0.91 to 2.22, return on such assets. From 0.04 to 0.09, asset turnover ratio from 0.33 to 0.35, debtors collection period, that's what I was talking about, from 110 to 143. The serious challenge that we're having there, it's not all the municipalities. I think there are about three municipalities that are actually giving us a serious problem in terms of it. Accounts receivable from 3.3 to 2.54, and the current ratio from 1.76 to 1.72. Debt in service ratio from 0.92 to 2.23, long-term debt ratio from 0.45 to 0.25. Most of our loans will be in fact falling off, I think, in 2011, with just a few that are going through up till 2018. The some indicators continuing, water purchases as a percentage of total revenue moves from 38.58 to 35.51, electricity from 5 to 7.29, salaries on wages from 24.6 to 25.58, maintenance from 7.2 to 6.54. When you look at salaries and wages, you see that there's a jump from 206 to 207, mainly because of the acquisition of the other staff and also post-retirement liability that was in the past not actually added, which is added right away now. And then our maintenance from 7.2 to 6.54, and the financial cost from 3.02 to 11. The loan register, we are owing the following institutions: DWARF 6.3, DBSA 56.3, and then PIC 43.2, Incat 99.3, APSA 32, and then the total is 237. You will see the others from APSA, the figures remain the same. They are mainly because they are covered by zero coupon. So the one that was paying directly is the Department of Water Affairs. And we're also having the following investments in the different institutions. In Gensec, 101, and Investec, 67, APSA, 45, which includes the 32-day call account, and then First Corp investment, 14.6, and the total is 229 million. Gross revenue, that's a total revenue moved from 276 to 305.8, and then service delivery claims to that, and our gross revenue moved from 300 to 331. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That was CDB. I will now give the opportunity to members of parliament to get some questions, clarities, comments, starting with Botshelo. But I'm not saying that if you want to ask a question now from Amadola, you say no, we're not yet dealing with Amadola. You can ask any of those presentations that were made. Any of those. I recognize Honorable Olomisa, Honorable Koshimatebe, Honorable JJ, and Honorable Lovemore, and the last one, Honorable Zikalala.
Thank you, Chairperson, colleagues, and board members. My question is directed to the department first. Now that these submissions have been tabled, or reports have been tabled rather, as a department, are you satisfied that, because you are the eyes and ears of this committee, are you satisfied with these reports? That's point number one. Number two, the question is directed to all the board members from all provinces and also the Department of Water Affairs. Which areas would you like to see being improved in the legislation in order to accelerate service delivery? I guess that's what we would be interested in, not to waste our time about the figures, which we are not going to prove. We're not auditors. But we would like to see that the service delivery is accelerated at the end of the day. I sense that there's too much bureaucracy here. There's a lot of people involved, lots of institutions before the end users get this water. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. As the CEO was giving presentation here, you did allude to the fact that you received a qualified audit report. One of those being the systems that are not talking to each other. In some instances, there were no supporting documents. So now one wonders whether you did really employ a chief financial officer who meets the criteria for that position. If yes, what is his explanation of this situation? If not, what are the reasons for employing such a person who does not meet the criteria for that position? And also on your turnaround strategy, you did not mention anything regarding the skills development or training of employees. So what would be your comment on that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Colleagues. Chairperson, our intention here is to get the challenges and the achievements and the successes of the different boards. As we are getting reports, we're listening very attentively, and let it to be every each board to give us an information that will assist us so that we can enter where it is necessary to assist. Chairperson, I want to ask a question from Bushilo. From Bushilo, they said, in terms of revenue, there is a decrease of 10% in the financial year 2006 and 2007. And the operating expenses increases by 30%. I want to know, how does this board operate then? If the revenue decreases, then the expenses rise. How does the board operate? And secondly, on Bushilo. Bushilo has spoken about the billing of the municipalities. How does Bushilo bill the municipalities in terms of the decrease of the revenue? Are they, in fact, including the cost recovery on their bill or what? We just wanted clarity there. Then I'll go back to Bush Bakrish. To Bush Bakrish, they presented a report here in front of us. As I'm listening to this report now, compared to the report that we got last week, there are issues that raises questions. Because last week, as they were presenting, we found that within their report there were a lot of problems within the report. Now those report, now when you get this report, it's a clear and thin report, especially the first presenter has spoken about the members of the board who are working, in fact, who are all together within the board and are working very smooth without any problem. But when you look to the report of last week, you will find that there are problems. Can we get a clarity on this thing? When you say all members are still within the board, then what causes this problem? Because those members, they have to sit down and deal with this problem. What causes this problem then? And in terms of resignations, I really don't understand. If the board is having all members operational, then I don't think we can experience problems within that board. And also, and we must get a clarity on these things. Are all these members still within the board or not? Are they functional? That's what I want. And Chairperson, by look of things and understanding these two reports, I don't think there is anything that stops us to propose the dissolvement of the board, really. They are saying, in terms of appointment, they appointed the chief financial officer and other staff members, but they are having an acting CEO. Is there any logic amongst what they are presenting to us here? That's why I'm saying I don't see anything that stops us to propose a development of this court. can I just stop it?
Who was next? Other than Lakmo.
Thank you, Chair. I have a couple of concerns. One is on, what is the correct pronunciation? Botelo.
Life.
I listened carefully to the presentation and I had read the annual report. Now, in the annual report, there are a number of pages that are headed performance review. And it contains alarming things like no planned infrastructure, no water demand management in place, illegal connections, not all metered, old infrastructure, etc., etc. It goes on and on. Now, I didn't hear anything in the presentation, that will address the problems that are actually listed in the annual report. So I would like some comment on that. And then, Chair, In two of the reports, and I can't recall, but I'm not going to waste your time of trying to find them now, but competition is mentioned, that there is competition. I think Bushbuck Ridge was one of them, that there's competition amongst the water service, or the water service authorities are able to go to other water service providers. Now, I don't fully understand where the competition comes from. So just that's just clarity. I didn't see very much in any of those presentations on infrastructure at all, and that seems to be such a major gap. Is it being addressed? There was a lot of presentation on in terms of turnaround strategies, in terms of appointment of new boards and that sort of thing, but infrastructure just didn't seem to be addressed. Now, that, of course, ties up with the first question. My water quality issues. There is much mention all over the place, the Crocodile River, groundwater, etc., about substandard raw water quality. I think, is it Bushbuck Ridge? Sorry, Chair, that's, no, Sedibeng. Sedibeng, I think it's about 60 to 70% of the water comes from the groundwater. And then they also operate wastewater treatment works, and it's just made, a statement is made that the wastewater treatment works cannot deal with nitrates, so they're discharging high nitrates into the environment, and the statement is also made that the groundwater that's being abstracted has high nitrates. Now, high nitrates is it's potentially lethal, especially to babies, Chair. That's just an example. But I didn't hear any detail, and maybe it's not 10 minutes is not enough for detail, but for instance, the comment was made, most of the time we produce Class 2 water. Well, Class 2 water is not safe to drink year after year. It's only safe for a certain period. You know, you can't say, well, it complies with Class 2, therefore it's okay. For a period, it's okay. But nevertheless, are there these boards particularly taking action? And then, Chair, I was concerned also to hear that this is my last concern, the drought mentioned a couple of times. I was reading, it's an Earth Science Africa Oxfam report on climate change over the weekend. And what the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism was saying was that those people who are being affected by climate change must stand up and shout for action, must stand up and demand action. Now, if water boards are being affected, and obviously by implication their customers, are being affected by drought, I'm not saying the droughts are caused by climate change, but might well be linked, are they putting any pressure on our government, to take action in terms of climate change? Because ultimately this is going to affect their ability to deliver. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lasmo. Honorable Zikelala?
Chairperson, thank you very much for mentioning the part of abbreviation. I was really worried. Well, I don't know, because at a certain stage I fell asleep. Because I was just listening to nice lullabies, which drove me to feel drowsy, in fact. And Chairperson, Amatola, they've made mention of learnership programs they have, which is a very good thing. Surveying projects, abets, etc. Maybe they can just explain shortly how do they conduct their abets. You know, I can say so much, but just to wrap it, I, for one, I have a feeling, I don't know whether I'm relevant or I'm going to be relevant or irrelevant, that How about if some of these water boards can be visited? You know, for the committee to see for itself the good work that is done by these boards as they report. I say some of them. For instance, Bushbuck Range, really. You know, last time, as Comrade JJ was mentioning, there were a lot of problems, but today, Bushbuck Ridge, there's improved relationship with all, you know, the report is just improving relationship with this one and that one. Everything is running smooth. I think.
Thank you very much. I told you that we have teachers among ourselves. So I, Mamu Zikalala, so interested now about the other issue. No, it's true, Mamu Zikalala. That's my intention, that we should visit them all, actually, not just a few. We start with the ones like Rand and Sidibe, you see, so that we should compare when we visit them, the smaller you know, one like Bonama, Kwanoban, you see, and the reason for us doing that is to try and reinforce or empower those who are starting. Because when you listen to all the boards, as I have said previously, the municipalities, that is local government, they've got a lot to do with some of the failures within the boards. The issue of the non-payment, mostly all of them, they're complaining about. So it's a very, 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 very difficult thing that I think all of us, we need to come together and see how best we can assist them. Hence the question of Honorable Holomisa by saying, is the department satisfied? Listen to the reports of individual boards. What is the department position? What are they saying? Are they satisfied? And one thing again, before we give to them to respond, I had all the boards, they said we got qualified, unqualified reports. But I did not get it clearly from CDBA. The CDBA, it did not come up clear whether they've got the qualified or not. The ones that gave us the figures at last, the financial analysis at last, was it CDBA? Yeah, they did not come up clearly whether their report is qualified or unqualified. But all these others, they started before they could do anything when it comes to finances. They said, this report is qualified, this report is unqualified, but CDBA was not very much clear. Hence, I'm saying that they need to clear to also clarify us on that issue, and then I will then open then to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. According to the report by Othello Water, it has been clearly mentioned that there are new challenges with regards to the mismanagement of funds, corruption, and the lack of effective financial regulation driving to the high incidence of financial misconduct. But I would like to ask what are they doing to resolve these issues and whether there is any support from the department to assist them, because as the portfolio committee, also I would also like to tell the water board that they need to for them to mention, as they mentioned the challenges, and they have also have to mention the ways that they would like to solve those challenges. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then we'll give then over to the department and the board that has been mentioned here, just to explain to members of parliament or respond to those questions that have been asked. Especially with Silo, there was a lot of questions that were directed to Butsilo and Bushbuck Ridge. And is Bushbuck Ridge, Butsilo, Sidibeng, and also on the issue of the infrastructure. I'm also very curious, because really I've got a serious concern. I even wrote a note to my advisor here, ask her whether she did include that in the workshop, because we needed to get a clarity on what is happening when it comes to the issue, the infrastructure. Maybe the department, since they are also here, they can also try and assist us to that regard. Let me give over to yourself then to respond to all those questions. Just indicate to us from which board, because we want to know
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I would like to first clarify the issue of the contradiction between the last week's report to this one. And last week, what we were doing were briefing the committee about the activities of the board itself right from inception up until today. But what we are doing today is to speak to the annual report of 2007-2008. So obviously there are developments that took place in between. So that is the reason why members might think that there are contradictions. There are no contradictions. But let me first appreciate the fact that the chairperson has already indicated that there will be visiting different boards that will really appreciate it. That's actually what we are waiting for. Honorable Holomisa has spoken to the amendment of the legislation. I think my other colleagues will also talk to this one. But Honorable Chair, I would like to indicate to the contradiction which is there between the Water Services Act, especially Section 36C, which talks about the Water Services Authorities having to look at a public institution before they could go to a private institution whenever they want to enter into a service level agreement. And when you look at the Section 78 of the Municipal Structures Act, which allows them to do otherwise, that is where we believe the committee can assist us much if that can be amended to talk to each other, because the two legislations are supposed to assist in terms of delivering services to the same municipalities, and we find that to be contradictory. And then the other one is the competition which is there in Bushbuck Ridge, more especially within the Mbombela local municipality. Honorable members will remember that there was Bywater saga, the signing of the agreement, more especially the Honorable DJ is coming from Mpumalanga. You will remember that this has brought a lot of problems. The Bywater, which is today called the name of Bywater today? The Selulumande. They keep on changing names, but at the end of the day, it's still the Bywater, which was a concession which was entered into by the Mpumalanga provincial government through the Mbombela. Can't remember when, but during the inception, during the mid-90s. So it becomes a problem for ourselves as a public water utility, because we are operating within the same area. So that becomes a problem. And the other one, which is nearly similar to that, was the disestablishment of the Bushbuck Ridge Water Board. Because of the problem in terms of revenue collection, there was this cloud of disestablishment, but it was clarified by the previous minister that having looked at the research which was done by the Water Research Commission, as well as the ministerial directive itself, they found that there is no reason for disestablishment, because the water board was established as a response to the redressing of the past imbalances. And when it was established, it was very clear that the area is rural, but there is a need for the people to get the service. So that is why the report, which was tabled to the minister, found that there's no reason to disestablish the board. Actually, there is a reason to improve or increase the area to the entire province after the report of the institutional realignment. So we might find Bushbuck Ridge Water even covering the area of the disestablished Inkangala Water Board. There was a question that was talking to the acting chief executive. It is true that we are today having the chief financial officer who is acting as the chief executive, because we as the board has suspended the then chief executive, and I did talk to this as a problem last week, that we have suspended the chief executive due to the mismanagement of the assets of the institution. So that is still an issue there. The board members, in terms of the 2007-2008 financial year, yes, there were no resignations, but the briefing last week did indicate that there are board members who have since resigned. Thanks, Chair. If there are guests, Mapolova, the chief financial officer, who is the chief executive, will fill in the gap. Over to you, Chair.
I think you've responded almost to everything, but one thing is not clear. On the resignation of board members, your response is not clear, because you are saying now there are no resignations, and then you said the last time you said there were no, there are resignations, and then you want to know what is the right thing. Or are they board members only by name, but they are not active, or what is happening?
During the 07-08, we had 8 board members. But then, as we are sitting here today, there are board members who have resigned, which means in the next annual report for 08-09, we will reflect on board members who have resigned.
Thanks, Chair. The current report is indicating during the year under review. To say during the year under review we had 8 board members, but currently if we will talk about the after balance sheet or the activities after the year end, there have been resignations, and before then, taking into consideration the financial year under review, there was a resignation, some of the resignations. In total, I think the board was sitting at around 10 board members initially. It went to 8 and currently sitting at 6.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Chairperson, based on your okay. No, the resignations, basically, most of the resignations is due to the fact that board members are business people, and most of them are focusing on their businesses which are growing. So it's on a positive note.
Thank you very much. I think I agree with Honorable Zikalala. We need to visit this board. Maybe we should start with this one's challenges. You see?
because now it, the number is now dropped from 8 to 6 now, you see.
Okay.
Yeah, but unfortunately the report that we are getting now is the report of 2007-2008. So maybe the next report that we'll be getting 2008-2009, and then we'll get the exact number. Maybe by that time there won't be any board but the look of the thing. Is it a follow up from you, Ndadu, JJ? Okay, let me give to Umamu Undute, and then to you, JJ.
Chairperson, I just, on a lighter note, I just want to say maybe it's not all doom and gloom in Bushbuck Ridge, because in terms of their annual report, they are the only one, despite all those problems, they are the only board that has been able to follow the annual reporting, for instance, to tell us even about the number of staffing, the appointments, the improvement in terms of BEE, the improvements in terms of women's appointments and all that. So at least it's not all doom and gloom. Maybe you just need to assist where there are problems.
Yes, we agree that we'll assist, but the fear is one. With all those good reports, the number decreases, I remember. The number is decreasing. By the time you get another report, there won't be anybody there left.
No.
Maybe you only with the
they have filled all the vacancies.
Oh, okay. So the Mpumalanga people are saying, no. By that time, Mabe Pina, Mabe Buya, then they will have to send them. No, thank you, Sister.
The honest report. That's what we need, actually. In order for us to be able to assist any entity, we need to get an honest report. Then we know then what challenges we are faced with, all of us, in order for us to be able to assist you. Comrade JJ?
No, you're covered.
All right.
So thank you very much. Thanks, Pudine. No, I don't want you to swim more. You're right. Don't spoil it. Yeah, don't spoil it. Just fill the vacancies, and then when you have challenges, come back to the portfolio committee. We are going to assist you. We are not going to do away with any board, you know, yeah, because we need water. People need water. I'm expecting Butsilo now to respond, because there are so many questions, but Butsilo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to respond to one question where the member asked whether we are appointing correct people to look after the assets of Botelo in terms of missing documents which led to the qualification of our audit report. When we came into existence, 4 months down the line, we employed a director of finance who, in terms of the qualification and the requirements, met all the requirements. But that was almost the time when we were supposed to compile the AFS. And then by then we realized that he was a non-starter. And then we had to outsource all the compilation and the completion of the AFS. That subsequently, after 6 months, we could
conference.
And non-starter, he was unable to compile the AFS. And then we had to outsource the services. That 6 months down the line, we could not confirm the appointment, so he had to be dismissed. And that went also to the director operations. Also, we couldn't confirm the appointment because we realized that they were unable to assist us in a way that we wanted to be assisted. So that is the answer to the question. And I will let the CE to lead the other end.
The second part of the question.
Okay. The second part of the question.
There are so many questions.
On that particular question, I said, and I did not mention any form of maybe skills development or training of staff to make sure that they correct this situation, which is horrible.
Yes, the director, corporate service is going to respond to that. He's got all the details. Thank you. And the CE is going to lead the other, which you call.
Wonderful. Thank you. Butsilo, we are still waiting for the
question. Thank you, Honorable Chair. We came as a team, and as Chairperson has indicated, she was responding to one question thereof. But let me start with a question which I think it hits at the core of the issues which I think the members of the committee are raising. about the performance review, and I think it was raised by the Honorable Lovemore, that in terms of our report, we have raised issues which we say we have not been able to achieve this and that, and those challenges. And that is why we have responded to those challenges by putting to this committee that we have developed a turnaround strategy after we have consulted with the shareholder, which is the department. And among that turnaround strategy addresses issues in relation to financial management challenges, operational efficiency, and also the HR component thereof. Now, let me start with the HR. What happened is that immediately after the board was appointed, it realized that the strategic plan which was there, which had many gaps, and I'm talking about 2007 when they were appointed, the organizational design which was developed or agreed upon did not speak to it. So it had to look at the people in the organization with their competencies and so forth. And based on that, and organizational redesign was then done. To an extent that we are in the process of looking at those employees, particularly those who require skills. And we have determined after we have done the organizational diagnosis that the major gaps which we have in Botshelo Water is in the financial directorate. And the chairperson has already indicated, because after 5 months this board was appointed, it appointed through a proper due process a person who the board thought that it would be able to take the financial management somewhere. But it then found that the person was not having the right competencies and the skills at that time. He's a financial person, but could not come to the level where the board required based on the challenges which we have. And the chairperson has already indicated that based on that, after the performance evaluation, the board then could not confirm his probation. So all those challenges, Honorable Lovemore, they are addressed in terms of the turnaround. And we thought that we must not take much of the time, and we are happy that the committee now is saying that they are going to visit all these water boards. We will be able to deal with those issues as we reflect. But we did attempt in terms of our turnaround strategy, which we put here, to show where we identify the gaps and so forth. So the skill development issues and also the competencies of people we have is being addressed. One of the challenges which we have was around the billing. Our operations division was not talking to our finance, because the operators must be able to bring the job cards on time to the finance people, so that we must prepare the invoices to the water service authorities. So that was a challenge. Now, in terms of the turnaround strategy, we have improved that to an extent that as I am talking today, we are up to date with our billing, because we had to go almost 8 months back to make sure that we go and correctly bill. And last week when we presented our tariff, we indicated that from 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, there were challenges where our tariff was not increased. It remained at the same level. So that impacted negatively on the revenue or the income of the organization, because you keep the revenue, but other things, your electricity, and other inputs which you have to put in place for treating that water increases. So the organization was operating at the at the loss, to an extent that there were also other water schemes which we have not mentioned in the in the presentation, where you would find that we charging the municipality plus minus 250,000, but that municipality, and we did not want to board this committee about those, that municipality only pays about 32%, which is 65%. And when this new board went into finding out why, when we're reconciling, as I indicated, why we have these challenges, we found that they were because of those other, and we are not trying to throw stones, those other people who were there entered into some arrangements and agreements with those municipalities that, no, pay this amount as a flat rate, even if the expenses which the water board was incurring. And, Chairperson, I'm happy that as we are going to visit, you will also see that there's a paradigm shift. When you compare Botshelo Water and Rand Water, Botshelo Water operates is still operating, and we are beginning to argue with the Water Service Authority that why can't Botshelo Water be seen to be operating in terms of the present provincial or the boundaries which we have, because it still operates in terms of what was there before 1994 in the former Bophuthatswana area. So the development thereof has also been blunted by not moving along with the new dispensation. So those are the challenges which we are dealing with. As I'm talking, we are engaging with the Water Service Authorities to say to them that come 2010, when we negotiate the new water service level agreements for 2010 and beyond, let's look whether Botshelo Water should be able to provide bulk water in all the areas which are part of the Ngagamudiri Mulema and Dr. Ruth Khumuzi Mumpai. So we're dealing with that because it is also a question of a paradigm shift. The question raised by Honorable Holomisa about various it speaks to the issue which I'm raising, because you will find that the Municipal Systems Act says to municipalities, engage in the process of Section 78. Section 78, it says, as a municipality, if you need services, can you look in terms of your own internal capacity whether you'll do that? One of those services is water services. So that also created challenges for water boards like Botshelo, because the new districts, when they were established, they said, no, we don't need this water board. We don't know how it was created. It was created, maybe we inherited it previously. There were those kind of discussions. And the Municipal Systems Act gave them power to go and do an assessment whether they can do water services on their own. As I am talking, we were given a report that they will do the assessment. The final report will be available September 2009, in the next 2 months. So that also has created a problem in terms of the water services, that we can grow into other areas which were not formally designated to a water board like ours. As I've mentioned, from our side, the department is engaging with us on this turnaround, and is engaging us very well on our month-to-month. And those debates or discussions which we have are not necessarily smooth. They will have also, because we have our own perception, but we think that we can manage those discussions. And when the portfolio committee visits us, we will be able, without both taking a long time around these things. I will then request maybe Reddy Kuku, who is a member of the board, to deal with the question around the 10% decrease and the 30% increase, which was raised by one board member. And I think we would have tried to respond to broadly some of the questions which were raised.
Chairperson, thanks, and the committee. Maybe let me observe all protocol. Chair, my name is Matiliso David Dikuku. I'm a board member of Botshelo Eswa. I'm on pension. Chair, maybe starting first with the question of Honorable Member Skosana on the decrease of 10%. Under the year under review, the 2007 and 2008, when we compared the consumption by our clients, we found out that there was a general 10% decrease. And obviously we tried to find out what has caused this. But we found that there was an improvement on the infrastructure of one of our major clients, like, say, Mafikeng Municipality. They have dealt with their water losses, their meterings, and the like. So because of that improvement, it reduces what used to go underground. It was not because of our own liking. Now, with regard to the issue of the 30% increase on the year under review, Chair, we are only appointed on the 20th of July. Some of us, it's only that a matter of willpower that we are still there. We could have long run away because of the disastrous thing which we found out. One, Salas has just decided to cross the floor. If he was in rough, he was supposed to tell you all these things. We did a 10-year review from 1997 to 2007 when we came. And what we have picked up was that there was a almost smooth 10-year mismanagement unnoticed. Let me just cite one example. Well, you might find out that, and unfortunately the person in question has even passed away. The CE was paying himself, just by way of an example, about 2 million per annum. And he was also being given another 2 million as bonus. So purely that was a financial mismanagement. Now we came into being, our question is, but where were the Vaudas and the Silases? Because they were supposed to have had an oversight. They were supposed to have picked up that thing. I'm not personal, don't look at it. I'm just trying to highlight some of the challenges here. Now, I think on the slide, Honorable Lovemore, on page 7 of the slide, it tried to give you the issue of the employee cost. When we made an analysis, you found out that when there is a normal standard payment of staff members across the board, at Botswana it was a different ballgame. While people were not appointed based on the adverts, it was a family kind of an effect, and people were paid high salaries. So all those things were issues that we had to come and deal with and find a way of correcting. The issues of stock losses. Because, like the presentation was saying, we are running about 500 boreholes. They will be done by pumps and all those things, diesel, electricity. Our own people were buying diesel to go and operate machines, but they were selling this diesel at some other instances without us being aware. Those are some of the things that we picked up, the repairs and maintenance. So I don't want to go into more details around these two aspects. But I also want to cover on what Honorable Bengu asked about mismanagement. What are we doing about that? I think on our report, you will see on page 19 of the report, when we investigated, we found out all those fraudulent issues and charges had to be instituted. At least we have managed to bring the issues under control. Honorable Lolomisa, we only plead that the department, maybe through this committee, treat boards equal, treat them the same. Don't treat others differently as if... I don't know, I don't want to use words that are not appropriate, but an example is when a process starts that the department decides to transfer assets to the people who are operating there. Mm. It's only Botshelo where this infrastructure was not transferred to Botshelo. Instead, it is transferred to municipalities. We don't have capacity. It means for us to operate, the department even sends the operational finances to those municipalities. And they are not necessarily transferring these municipalities to Botshelo in order to operate. So they are laying in. Every time we want the money for operations, we must come and account. And monies are also misplaced. So I'm pleading that when we look into the infrastructure transfer, I've seen Amatola have raised it, I've seen Bushbuck have raised it. Please let's expedite these things. Let them go to where they are operated. But lastly, what is the hiccup of service delivery, more especially of water generally? Our laws are not speaking to each other. I don't know. We are a unitary state, but we are fragmented as if we are in Germany. The water, National Water Act says the provision as to how it should be done. But then you might find that powers and functions of the other, they don't speak to that. They do something different. Now, I don't know. Does this department listen, or as the authority, are you dealing with the law, or are you asking corporate of that minister, Chicago, how you must do your job? You must be knowing how to do these things. So I'm pleading that the issues of powers and functions, as they have been reviewed, let us make sure that how are they being dealt with in order to harmonize this kind of relationship. No. Chairperson, I'm answering what Honorable Holomisa is asking. He's saying, which areas would you like to be improved in order to ensure that service delivery becomes the key.
You spoke about legislation.
Yeah.
And then we do agree, and also Bush Buckridge did. They are the first ones, actually, who mentioned the issue of legislation. But I think that's your problem.
No, Chair President. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the laws don't speak to each other. The Water National Water Act says something. But when you look into powers and functions as determined by other ministries, it does away with what you said must be done. So that's why you find confusion on the ground. So please let us make sure that we harmonize and integrate legislations that are governing the provision of service on the ground. I think maybe let me put it in that way, in those ways, and my apologies if I might have appeared to say it otherwise.
Did you guys ever raise this issue with the former committee? Of with the minister within, did you ever raise all these issues?
Honorable Makabe, being a senior counselor, he knows I was saying it in all angles. He knows very well.
I'm talking about the issues of the legislation. Because for us to amend the legislation, if we discover that there is a problem when it comes to delivery, I don't think that we have any opposition. If we say that this is what, for instance, you say, and they also said that they've got a problem. Because all these things hinders at the delivery at the end of the day.
They have been raising it all the time. But it's a pity. Let's forget about that past committee. This one is fresh. It's 17 long.
That's precisely what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For instance, when you said here, you came in July, I don't know which year in July, and then this is what you discovered, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then this is what you are doing in order for you to be able to remedy what was happening. It's precisely us here as Parliament. We don't say that the former Parliament did 1, 2, 3, and we are going to do 1, 2, 3. No, we are not saying that. Tina was saying that anything that you experience as a problem, as a department, you bring it to us, because we don't want to pass the blame. You see, we want to do what is correct. That's what we want to do as this portfolio committee. You know, when I left police, I thought that I was coming to a comfort zone, but it seems as if I'm in trouble. You see? Yeah.
I think that a visit on the one-to-one interaction is going to give us that opportunity to get.
No, yes, you are correct. I think when we visit you as individual entities or boards, then it will be a little bit easier for us then to understand individually what is happening in the different boards. I was listening attentively when you were saying that the department is supposed to do 1, 2, 3, they must not do 1, 2, 3. And then I said, is the department around here? Are they here? I'm sure that they are also listening to every frustration that you are saying to this committee. Because at the end of the day, everything that we are doing, everything that we are saying, it must not hinder the delivery at the end of the day. What we want to say is delivery. All these 30 things that we are coming with here, they are not going to assist us if the shelling has as a state or we don't act on those things. Because we'll act, and when we act, you see? Because there is no way that a person angafumana is 4 million per annum, 2 million for something else, and then it discovered with a bubilelom dilo. You see? Somebody must take responsibility. We're not going to get that person from the grave. So somebody must take the responsibility. How did that happen? Whereas there was a board that time.
Yeah.
There were some people that time. Well, how can one person be so corrupt? Whereas other people were there.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that we need to address. We need not to shift the blame. We must take the responsibility. Mm-hmm. If we as the committee, we feel that the former committee did not do 1, 2, 3, we are not going to shift any blame. We are going to do the right thing in order for us to put the song at 7 final goals. As the president said, together we do more.
Lastly, I just want to say, luckily this board was managed to take Butsela out of the ICU. It is now in the general ward. So please never consider these disbandment issues. They are not going to be. You must just assist us to make sure that it becomes a free person again to come in.
I think we are running out of time now. We still have 5 boards to take before. I think we'll be here up to our first one, I'm telling you. Before that time. So let me hear from members whether should we take the other board or are there some other things that you would like to. Sindude? No, Chairperson, what I was going to say is that I think the Chairperson needs to be very strict. Don't allow members, when they answer questions, they give speeches, because this is what takes more time. People answering questions takes almost 10 minutes, as if they are giving speech. If we can sort of cut that, zoom into, you know, responding to questions, it will help us a great deal. But I've got just a follow-up on the Butelo, you know, Chairperson, in terms of their diagnosis, for instance. I'm sort of excited by it, but can I say that it does not cover some of the areas that they've actually highlighted as problematic themselves? So I'm wondering, if now the diagnosis is not taking care of those, when will they be done? For instance, one of the, you know, the issues of the consulting and professional fees, because seemingly they are high and they are a problem. They have not said anything about that. The issue of repairs and maintenance, again, it has not in the diagnosis. There's also the issue of employing staff that doesn't have expertise. It doesn't talk to that, you know. For instance, and also the issue of improving performance. In the diagnosis, I couldn't pick that up. Maybe they can be able to, you know, help us in terms of how do they see themselves improving those things in the whole, you know, issue moving forward. Those are the, you know, issues that were sort of lost for me, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks very much,
Chair. Yeah, Chair. I think both Silong have been able to explain the mess that they found themselves in. But they're not telling us about the specifics. For instance, they said the question of skills development is being taken care of, but they're not telling us as to what are they doing. What mechanism have they put in place? And also they are saying this guy who's now an ancestor has been getting $2 million. But they are not telling us what they as directors were getting by then and what are they currently earning. So that we can link that to the salary of that particular ancestor. Because maybe there was a collusion. We don't know. But if we can get proper explanation, we'll be able to give a proper analysis of what's happening and what had happened. Thank you, sir.
While you prepare that response, you prepare, you may whisper among yourselves. Maybe you don't know what the next person is getting. Baba says, JJ?
Yeah, citizen, we are asking questions to this board. When they respond, they open up more loopholes for us to get in again.
Yeah.
See, I really don't understand. Then it gives me a problem of, are these boards giving us the real thing that we want or not? That's another question that I'm having. For instance, a member of Bushilo, was speaking just now.
Mm.
He spoke about so many corruptions, and those corruptions are not reflecting in the document. What is that? It's a problem. And I will also urge him to make sure that any legislation that is an obstacle to their delivery, it must be brought forward. In writing, for that matter, because we're a government here, in writing, so that we can deal with those things. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. JJ. Yeah, I was to say what you've just said, Mr. JJ, that most of the issues that they brought up when they were supposed to respond to direct questions are not even contained in their report, which is a problem, actually, which becomes a problem. Whilst they are preparing themselves, then I don't know whether they will respond on issues of salaries, how much they are getting, other people are getting 4 million. Let us take Rand Water. And when it's question time, those questions that were just asked now, Butilo, you have to respond to those questions. Rand Water.
Sorry. In the first round of questions, I asked questions to the department and they have not responded.
Yeah, it's true. The department was asked what is their opinion. I mean, are they proud of this board? Are they proud of what is happening within the board? Because I don't think that even themselves, they did highlight these issues in their report. I mean, Honorable Connie September should have told me that these are the legacy that has been left. But as for now, it's for the first time that I hear some of these things. I did get reports from the
former chair. But these issues that they are raising now, they are new to me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be very brief in responding to the two, three questions that were asked. There was a question around the reports, whether we are satisfied with the reports. When we evaluated the reports, we make sure that the reports from water boards are a true reflection of what happened during that reporting period. However, when we deal with water boards during the year, we make sure that we get them to do the right thing as per whatever act that apply. However, when the reports are brought to Parliament, we also make sure that they reflect everything for the parliamentarians to know what happened within that water board, so that it is not another truth being conveyed to parliamentarians other than what actually happened. So the level of satisfaction may be misinterpreted. For instance, what Butsilo have said, we dealt with that with Butsilo, and when they were putting together their report, we made it a point that the report that they submit to Parliament is a true reflection of what happened. That is the satisfaction part, Honorable Olumisa. As to what do we want to improve in the Act in order to improve service delivery? Service delivery is primarily the responsibility of local government, and we are engaging with local government. We assist them in whatever way possible. There are so many programs on the ground to assist local municipalities to deliver service. It is their responsibility. We do have our own responsibilities. I've just seen some document being circulated, madam, that talks to some of what we are responsible for, but primarily service delivery and the acceleration thereof is the responsibility of local government. There was a question around climate change. We do so much as a department to make sure that the amount of water available for the country is not compromised by any impact of climate change, which may or may not talk to what the water boards are doing. The water board, as long as they get so many kiloliters, which is what they require to supply the communities, is fine. The department looks at that volume. For instance, when you raise the dam wall in Glen Williams Dam or in the Glen Williams area, that is our practical activity to respond to climate change. The water board or any water user in that area will still get that volume of water irrespective of what happens as a result of climate change. But of course, as to how long that will take, it's a question, because these are natural processes. Madam, I think that is how far I can go in responding given the time that is there.
Iyavakala, welcome, Honorable Luyen. Iyavakala, General.
I will. That means that the department is endorsing all these problems who have been and misleading reports. Welcome to the club.
Can I tell you something, General? When I was carrying safety and security, I requested reports from provincial commissioners every year on a yearly basis. And I discovered that they all had the same report, but changed the names of the provinces. Free State, KZN, and Gauteng all had the same report. Ne? And I said, I think the best thing to do is for this committee to go to the provinces.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get something else. When we went to the provinces and we compared the report and what we discovered at the provinces, they were totally two different things. But you know what we discovered? We discovered that when the committee writes to the national commissioner, let me say we write to the ministry, and say that we want all the provincial commissioners and this is what we want from them. They will call them all to Pretoria.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they will tell them this is what we are supposed to tell the portfolio committee. Nothing else but this. You see? And then they will come to Cape Town and they will all tell us one thing because they've been called under one roof and told what to tell portfolio committee. And then what we did then to try and remedy that, we did not tell the national when we wanted a provincial commissioner. I wouldn't even write. I would take my phone and say, Commissioner, can you please tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock be in Parliament? I want you and your management. I don't want a written report. I want you to tell me what is happening in your province and you get the reality of what is happening in the province, you see? Because there was no endorsement from the department. Because all these things that they are saying now about the millions and the dead people and everything,
the department
knew about that, yeah. But we never had such a report. But today they are here, they are frustrated with Hilo. They think that this is where we are going to be saved. Let us say this thing. And that's precisely what we need in order for us to be able to assist them. Because if there are some hidden agendas, it will be very difficult for us to assist those boards. And then thirdly, if the department is saying that when it comes to service delivery, it's not the board's responsibility, it's the municipalities. What's the use of having the board then? It goes back to what was raised by Honorable Luyenge last week, when he said, do we really need this board? Or must we work directly from the department down to the district of the municipalities? Because if the department can say that service delivery has got nothing to do with us, it has to do with the municipalities, then that means we don't need the board. You understand what I mean? Let us break for 5 minutes for tea.
They must submit a draft legislation to effect.
Let us have tea for 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Exactly. And that's what you want to do.
The time is now 20 to 1, and we are supposed to be here up to 1:30. We have a very serious business in the house today. Supposed to be in the house at 2:00. We will take then, before we take my questions, we'll do the questions at last. We'll take Randwater, Namakwa, Mhlatsize, and Umgeni. 10 minutes, strictly 10 minutes. If I wish to bang 10 minutes, we'll cut you. And then also on the responses, when you respond to your question, go straight to the response. And don't tell us something that you did not tell us in your presentation. I think after all this, we will as a community then have to meet with the department together with the minister so that we can address some of these issues that have been raised here that we think that they need the attention of both the minister and the department. Mm-hmm. But as for now, let us go straight then into the presentation. And when you respond, bear in your mind, respond to the question that is being asked. You don't tell us what happened 10 years ago. You want to know what is happening now. And then we'll read that from your annual report if it does reflect. Unfortunately, if it does not reflect, you've got yourself to blame. Because at the end, we'll do away with that specific board. The board will be there, but the one board won't be there. That's the difference. The board will be there. The name board will be there. But the warm bodies won't be there. We get some other new warm bodies to do what we want them to do. Let's take Randwater.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, fellow board members, ladies and gentlemen. Chair, the first slide really speaks of the provincial framework. What we're trying to do here was just to show in terms of our infrastructure requirements and the area of operation, operating in Gauteng, just looking at ranking Gauteng versus some of the African countries where we actually sit. I think it just shows the size and amount of demand that we have and also in terms of the infrastructure challenges from a point of view of our area of operation. The second slide is just an area of supply, looking at the geographical footprint. You have an area, original area of supply that spans around 18,000 square kilometers, and then the extended area of supply that spans around 13,000 square kilometers. But I will get to the extended area of supply later in the presentation. Area of supply, we looking at ourselves as the largest water utility in Africa. Bulk water supplier of 3,653 megaliters per day. Consumers over 11 million. Total pipeline length over 3,000 kilometers. Number of reservoirs, we have there 54, but at this stage it's standing at 58. And in an attempt to address recurrent water service provision challenges in Delmas, as an example, which is sitting in Mpumalanga, the Minister of Water Affairs and Forestry then issued a ministerial directive which increased the rainwater area of supply to include the Delmas local municipality by virtue of a notice published in the Government Gazette. We just put in this up to show that part of our area, it is being sometimes increased as well to deal with the issues as they come up. Achievements in terms of reliability of supply, rainwater has met all daily demands, that is 3653 megaliters per day during the year. Product quality, rainwater consistently maintained delivery to customers on the South African National Standards 0241 Class 1 and 2 specifications. On the health side, rainwater's four major sites continue to take the lead in all rainwater HIV and AIDS programs and initiatives and other issues similar to this. On the safety side, rainwater's disability injury frequency rate was 0.54, below the corporate target of 0.8. But I need to also state that the 0.54 was not made up of anything that relates to operations. It's sometimes people falling and those kind of things, and people having presence, but nothing really major. On the corporate ISO, we have a corporate ISO standard 9001-2000 accredited, and all our plants are ISO 14001 accredited. And rainwater has embarked on infrastructural projects, for example, Swartkopies pipe works and pump sets, Farena Kensage protection, and Velta Freedom Park Reservoir. We will get to some of the examples in terms of going forward, in terms of our infrastructure requirements. Achievements, looking at corporate social responsibility, we are focusing on water and non-water related projects, socio-economic development projects leading to employment opportunities, water sector program support. We have implemented projects worth around 69 million on behalf of funders, creating 809 temporary jobs. Rainwater has spent around 2.2 million on donations to various non-profit organizations. Rainwater is also involved in many educational efforts through examples like environmental education and training, Rainwater Nature Center, Serena Camp Purification Station, Water City Environmental Center, Waterwise Educational Material and Program. And just focusing on the corporate social responsibility, these are some of the figures in terms of how we've done. Looking at project revenue, local employment growth, female employment is something that we started measuring as well. Spend on previously disadvantaged individuals and looking at the income generated through these achievements from a point of view of corporate social responsibility. The challenges, the tariffs. I think in the light of the falling CPIX and the revised raw water tariffs, rainwater proposed ultimately after all the discussions we've had with the necessary parties, a tariff of around 11.5, and National Treasury had proposed that we're looking at between 13 and 12.5% increase, but the tariff was mandated by the minister at 8.3. I think last week we did touch on this, so we won't be getting deeper into it. One of the other challenges is on aging infrastructure, as well as poor infrastructure remains a cause for concern to the organization. Rainwater's pipeline network includes steel and cement pipelines installed in certain instances in the 1930s and 1940s. Even though our area of supply is extended to new areas, each municipality has a right to appoint or not appoint rainwater in spite of glaring service delivery challenges. I think this point has been articulated too by other water boards in terms of I was talking earlier about an extended area of supply. So, but even if our area is extended to that extent, it still now touches on the issue of legislation where we can go into an area and try to assist, but the municipality still has the right of deciding who they want to work with as far as that is concerned. And I think it's one of the challenges that has been raised by this committee as well in terms of what we need to look at. One of the other challenges is raising funds effectively in the financial markets that are in turmoil. We all understand the current situation as far as financial markets are concerned at this stage. Maintain and improve rainwater's credit profile. We are currently on negative watch due to the perceived imposed tariff, and I think we articulated on that last time. Treatment process. The reliability of carbon dioxide supply remains a source of concern. In terms of our own treatment regime, we also have to use CO2 as part of our processes, but our supplies now, there is a concern in terms of stability in that, but it's a very operational issue, but we thought it best to bring it up as one of Renault's challenges. Raw water quality, the quality of water subtracted from the valve scheme is not
the direct responsibility of Rainwater. However, Rainwater remains concerned by the continuing poor monitoring of water quality as a result of poor catchment management. At this stage, it's something that sits with the department, but what it does as well is it increases our cost of purification, because now we need to have a better treatment regime in terms of addressing the whole issue of raw water cost. But I think that has been articulated too as well in the past. And what we're suggesting as well is maybe we need to be doing the patrol and looking at monitoring raw water quality as well, because our tariff to the department is inclusive of that portion, but we don't think at this stage it's been done well enough, because the raw water quality keeps on degrading really. Still continuing on challenges, informal settlement, this is an ongoing challenge requiring continuous and sensitive attention, as the erection of informal settlements over rainwater pipelines poses a threat to the safety of the people as well as a problem with regard to maintenance of pipelines. Energy prices have increased disproportionately from Eskom and local municipalities which both supply rainwater at this stage. Continued poor management of human and industrial effluents, especially in Sidibeng and south of Johannesburg, thus affecting the quality of water on the Vaal River, on the Vaal barrage, where is our second intake point. At this stage, we are not using that water because of the quality of the raw water in there, based on managing and controlling the effluent that some of the municipalities are actually dropping into the system itself. Skill shortages and affordability have affected Rainwater's ability to meet its employment equity target. I think I need to just speak a bit on this, because I've had some discussions as well even last week suggesting that based on the size of the water board, and I'm looking at this thing across the water board, that in certain instances you need particular skills to go in a particular area, even if the water board is small, and you are competing with other sectors in terms of those skills. So in a situation, sometimes we get the skill, and then somebody poaches that skill. So I think it's a problem that's all throughout water board as well. The water sector, the skills are usable also in other sectors as well. So it is a challenge that exists as well. Rainwater also failed to meet its target to procure from BEE companies by about 3%. Procurement targets for 2009, however, have been achieved. And I'm saying this because one of the things that we had to do was to start auditing even on our database number of suppliers that sit in there. And surprise, surprise, some of them, we found that their status has changed because they started registering as BEE companies, but when you do the audit, you find that they don't qualify anymore because they've just decided to change their status. So we had to now deal with those kind of things, and it also led to the challenge of having enough people on the database to do what we have to do. But we didn't also want to report on particular BEE targets only to find that it's not the case. On the audit report, Rainwater received an unqualified audit report, and the second bullet just says we've never received a qualified audit report anyway. Performance summary, revenue around 4.3 billion, which has moved from 4.1 billion in 2007. Total assets looking at around 7 billion, moving from 6.3 billion in 2007. Asset 2007-2008, the standard and poor credit rating was maintained, and the surplus, and I'm saying in bracket, retained income for capital expenditure projects increased by 8.8%, revenue increased by 3.8%, cash generated from operations increased by 2.4%. And this is a graphical view of how Rainwater has actually been performing. I know we're using the word profitability share, and it's something that it's a bit of a misnomer in the sector, but what we're doing, if one looks at our future infrastructure plan, our old view has been to actually ensure that there's enough retained earnings so that we can really self-fund to deal with the infrastructure requirements as we go into the future. And we're at a point where we now need to start utilizing that money to actually look at our infrastructure challenges. On the financial analysis, return on assets between 2007 and 2008, it has actually reduced to 10.9%, but this is just based on the fact that we are now starting to look at infrastructure spend, and as you getting new assets on the ground, it takes a while before they start really making money for the organization. Financial analysis, capital expenditure program. Between 2010 and 2014, we are looking at around 5.6 billion in terms of what we need to spend on our capital projects.
And here you just have some of the major projects that we're looking at. And the of interest is the last one is in terms of the Sacred Bosch purification station, where we're looking at an augmentation scheme, which in around 2015 will cost around $2 billion. So I think this puts into perspective why we said some of our pipelines have been put in the 1930s and 1940s. So this is what we're facing going into the future. Other issues, Renota has a growth strategy to service major challenges within and adjacent to our area of supply in terms of bulk sanitation, industrial water, acid mine drainage, which I think is a problem in areas where there has been a lot of mining in the past, and looking at other related products and services. And what I need to say here as well, as a challenge linked to the kind of pieces of legislation we have here, is you have the likes of Renota fitting in one area because that's where the demarcation sits. But areas outside that, there might be other challenges. But unless we get a ministerial directive that we need to go into those areas, it becomes a problem. And even if we go, then we still have to negotiate with municipalities who have to decide whether they want to work with Renota or other water boards, as an example. I think that point has been made by the other fellow water boards when they presented. Renota has a debt obligation. At this particular point in time, we are looking at the post-medical aid retirement obligation of $247 million, thanks, Chair. And we have a bond of around $633 million, which comes due in 2012, and around $100 million, which is due this year, next in September. It's coming from APSA. Renota is constantly monitoring the institutional realignment process because I think we think it's important to do so. An independent regulator, in our view, that investigates tariff efficiencies within the water sector needs to be promoted. And the cost of raw water going into the future, given the fact that we're looking at the second phase of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project and looking at the Department of Water Affairs pricing strategy, because at this stage we report as a water board, but we have behind us the Department of Water Affairs, and we also have TCTA that has their own tariff methodology that we feel needs to be brought to the attention of the committee, and they need to speak for themselves on those particular aspects. I think on the basis of time, as illustrated, net income is projected to fall from $808 million to about $320 million by 2010. And we're saying on employment equity, women in management position, we've met the target. Previously disadvantaged individuals, we've met the target. Where we've had a small problem is with people with disabilities, where we missed the target by 0.5%. And we have been able to reach the target in terms of procurement for BEE attained. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Brent Water. We will take Unamakwa. Namakwa, if you can stick your 10 minutes, you can finish before time, or by 1:30. If you don't, I'm afraid we start to them again, we have to stay over. If you don't take your 10 minutes, until tomorrow, we are coming back tomorrow.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. The Namakwa Water Board is, first of all, let me just, there was a question from one of the members of last time, what my position is. I'm the acting CEO at the board. We don't have a functional board at the moment. I'm just a temporary acting CEO there at the moment. Namakwa Water Board is situated in the western part of the Northern Cape province, and we're only serving one water service authority in Namakwa municipality. The municipality, the water service authority, made a decision in 2005 that they want to see if they can take over the water board, as the water board had operational problems. But at that this moment, they're not do not have the capacity to do that. Our infrastructure is very old and it's not well maintained. So we do have various pipeline failures, and financially we're not solvent at the moment. The board had decided last year June to appoint consultants to do their managerial duties. The board only at the moment has two employees in the offices. So there's a lot of stuff that could not be done, which also resulted in certain emissions as reported by the auditors, which is now resolved. When we were appointed in June last year, we went to various stakeholders and to get them engaged in the problems of the water board, and that resulted in receiving an operational grant from the Namakwa District Municipality this financial year. We did receive the unqualified audit report, although the auditor emphasized that the attempted entities don't have the ability to continue as a going concern. The omissions was a tax that wasn't paid over, but it has been resolved. So the board made a 70 million loss, 1.4 operating loss last year. The debtors did decrease, although that was mainly due to written off of bad debts. Credit has increased, and that was mainly due to water purchase from water fares that could not be paid. We did look at the accounting policy, and we decided to write off all non-cash based funds. There you can see the income is about revenue based 9.6 million, and we had a 26 million expense and cost. The balance sheet mainly reflects the cash and investments that decreased from about 770,000 to about 400,000 overdraft in this financial year. And that's mainly due to the operating loss we made of 1.4 million. The board set out certain goals for within the next 3 to 5 years. The first will be to secure short-term financial assessment. We urgently need that. We're not able to pay salaries anymore. We're not able to pay ESCOM. So we urgently need financial assistance. We also look at ways to reduce our costs. And we are in negotiations with the municipality to take over some of the distribution lines. We also set our tariffs to start recovering the actual cost of the service, and we need a remission of the debt of our loans, which we are not able to pay back at the moment. We also have various capital projects that urgently need to be done in excess of 100 million rand. I just made a list of that. If you want to look at that, that is that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Namak. You were the only one who took less than 10 minutes for your presentation. But there are so many things that you said that I don't understand. Kilega, because of Salama Tango, I'm just talking to you. Why are you telling me? Mr. Tuse.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and the Honorable Committee Members, fellow Chairpersons of the Board and CEs of the various boards. I've actually crossed the floor, Chair, recently to Mr. Tuse from the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry. And let me take you very briefly through the presentation. I'm actually here together with the Deputy Chairperson of the Board. The chairperson of the board couldn't make it, and she did send her apology, Chair. Okay, I'm going to run very briefly through the presentation, Chair, looking at the area that we service as the Mtatuze Water Board. I'll look at the challenges and the achievements, as well as the what is contained within the audit report. Without further ado, Chair, we actually operate bulk water supply, effluent removal for some of the industries in Richards Bay. We also do operation and maintenance on behalf of some of our water services authorities. We've got scientific services that we provide as an institution, and we are also an implementing agent for school sanitation program within the area of Zululand. And lastly, we are also an implementing agent on Working for Water program on behalf of the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry. The next slide here shows you the map area of where we operate from. If you look there, that's the green. We are actually located there in Richards Bay, and we operate in the district municipalities around that particular area, that is Uthungulu, Zululand, Umkhanyakude, as well as partly Ilembe, which we share with our brothers from Umgeni. That's a contested terrain, chair, but we are providing a service there. The achievement, chair, is in relation to the audit report. We got an unqualified audit report for the 2007-2008 financial year. We have also increased our area of operation to cater for the outlying poor municipalities, the ones that I actually alluded to a bit earlier on. So, in short, we are a financial going concern going forward. We have also complied with all applicable legislation, which is a requirement in terms of good cooperative governance and any other legislation, chair. And lastly, in terms of achievements, we didn't list all of them because we thought we'll only give you the highlight, is that we've got a laboratory which, in terms of ISOI standards, is one of the best in the country and also one of the best in Zululand. With regard to challenges, chair, the first one, oh, I thought maybe I'm the only one on the floor, chair. Yeah, I thought I was the only one on the floor, but there's some disturbance coming from the other side.
I'll tell you when there are disturbances.
Yeah. Okay. With regard to challenges, chair, the first one is the inability to secure long-term contracts with water services authorities, especially the ones that need our services most. And I think that is the point that was actually alluded to by some of the water boards. The second area is the line payment from some of these municipalities who actually need our services the most. And then the last challenge here, and I think all other challenges will be similar to the ones alluded by the other water boards, is that due to the world current recession, a number of institutions that we supply water to, particularly the industries and research bay, are actually scaling down, and that's actually having an impact on the volume of water that we supply to these institutions. I've already indicated here with the audit report that it's an unqualified audit. There are no matters of emphasis, and we've also prepared our financial statements in line with the requirements of GAAP and the PFMA. That is the finance report here, and I'm not going to waste a lot of time here, but in terms of revenue, you'll see that we've actually increased our revenue. When it comes to, for instance, the volume of water, which is further down there, we have actually increased the volume of water that we sell to our clients, and as well as the bulk effluent is actually decreased, once again due to the reduction in the operations of the industries that we supply water to. In a nutshell, Chair, our operating income has actually gone up by 3.6%. Our net finance cost, meaning the borrowing, the money that we borrow from financial institutions, is actually reducing, which means that we are actually able to pay for the loans that we have with the various financial institutions. And once again, we are a financial going concern based on that. The debtors' days have slightly increased due to the non-payment on time, particularly by our water services authorities. And the debt equity ratio, the return on assets, is also on the increase, but that's something that we're working on, Chair, to make sure that indeed we are able to actually put the institution on good financial standing. The only small blot that I need to bring to your attention, Chair, is the special investigation, which actually has been investigating the affairs of Mtatuze Water. They've been given all the information, but they still need to come back to us, but we can assure the committee here that there won't be anything untoward on Mtatuze. On water quality issues, I think we have actually complied with all the requirements on water quality issues. And that's just a graph to indicate the quality of water that we provide to our institutions. And on energy, and I think we heard from the others that the increasing energy cost is actually impacting on almost all the water boards, the pumping costs and all of that, which will need to be looked at, I presume, by the department, Dr. Mkhize, going forward. And let me report very briefly on service delivery and infrastructure, because I believe this is part of the reason why we are there as an institution. I did indicate here that we operate in a predominantly rural area, and obviously we take our responsibilities very seriously. There's been quite a lot of new infrastructure projects that we have, actually in partnership with other institutions, including the department, are actually implementing so that our communities, our people can get water wherever they are throughout the entire country. But that is, in a nutshell, Chair, the project that we were involved in as Mhlathuze Water, the Nsenzi upgrade, the Mpangeni Phase 2, the quite a number of other projects that we are involved in. And we also assist the Department of Local Government and Traditional Authority in KZN to implement some of the projects in the far rural part of Zululand, and those are some of the projects that we are actually implementing. The Working for Water project, as I indicated, we are actually involved in that. But I wanted to touch very briefly on our corporate social responsibility. In the year 2007-2008, we were actually requested by the department to provide bore water in the area of Ingwavuma, of which we went to provide or to drill those boreholes. And we can safely say now, Chair, that communities out there who used to travel almost 10 km to go and fetch water are actually getting water from nearby boreholes, which were actually provided by Mhlathuze Water, acting as an implementing agent for those particular communities. I'm moving towards the end, Chair. The issue of tariffs, I think all other water boards have actually complained about the reduction in the actual increases that they want to see being implemented for the 2009-2010 financial year, and that's still a problem for all of us. And this will have a huge impact in future tariff increases, because it will need to take into account the capital upgrade as well as the refurbishment of the infrastructure. In conclusion, Chair, Mhlathuze is actually financially very sound. The board and management jointly continue to strive to achieve the entity's vision of providing world-class water and related services to all our stakeholders. And of course, that one, the middle one, Chair, for information, Rolivua is in vendor, meaning thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Mhlathuze. We'll take the last one. Umgeni, strictly 10 minutes so that we can have 15 minutes for members for questions. Umgeni.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair of Portfolio Committee, honorable members of the committee, fellow board members, CEs, and so on. I'll start my presentation by briefly just outlining the operational area of Mhlathuze Water, which is actually shown in the area. Those that don't know, we're operating south of the Tugela River, from the Indian Ocean up to the Drakensberg Mountains and up to Umthambune River in the south, just before World Cup. Okay. In reporting our performance is actually guided by this corporate strategy. Embedded in that, there are about strategies that relate to meeting customer needs. And related to that, there are also strategies that relate to the financial health of the organization. And also, in terms of that, Mac, we're also talking about our role in terms of the developmental agenda. And we're also talking about our internal processes. So all those things combined actually give what we hope the shareholder, which is government, is looking for. And I think we're summarizing that in that slide. Operational achievements. I think the first thing is that we have received, we have presenting very good financial results for the year 2008, which is an indication of our commitment towards the KZN province in terms of economic development and socio-economic development. We've experienced strong cash flows that have enabled, that will enable Mungeni to deliver on its 2.9 billion five-year capital expenditure program. We are proud of having passed very affordable tariffs to our municipalities, and you know, and then and the average tariff increase was a record 2.4%. Because we've done so well, we felt that consumers need to share that benefit, and we passed that on deliberately. We've complied with all the statutory requirements, unqualified audit, no internal audit findings, so the internal controls in the organizations are working quite well, and as well the external controls as unqualified external audit report. Intervention, you know, one of our key things is that we need to look into the areas where there are no water boards that are functioning. We've taken it as our duty to actually work closely with the OR Tambo District Municipality, and we're working in two areas, the northern part. The first one is the Mbizana Regional Water Supply. This is a project that's just about 10 kilometers from Kandolo in Mbizana to the members of parliament that actually took the parliament to the people in Mbizana. We responded to the distress that was actually happening there. We have proposed putting up a dam. To us, this is the typical model of how bulk water provision to municipalities must be provided. We are building a dam here that will supply all the people in Mbizana local municipality, not only the people in town, right up to the wild coast, and some of that water will even go to Flagstaff. We are also proposing a water treatment works and also bulk distribution. In respect of the Mthatha intervention, we've gone there to actually assist the district municipality in terms of restoring water services. And one of the work that we've done relates to the work. Mthatha has never in the past 10 years been able to fill its reservoirs. And the question of water interruptions is just about a daily occurrence. We are moving, and by the end of this financial year, we think that is going to be history. That is the extent of our intervention into areas where we are not working. If you look at the Mbizana, I just thought that this was actually important just to give a perspective of the area. This is actually the Indian Ocean. Those that have gone to the wild coast, that is the whole area of the Ludege Dam is actually proposed, the scheme, the pumping main, the Nomlatu. Those are all the rural villages, and that's all the reticulation network. That dam will actually supply that whole area. We've also produced another plan for Flagstaff, and what we call the Musa Master Plan, where we have also identified a single dam that's going to be needed to actually supply the whole of the water for Lusigi Sigi, Flagstaff, right up to Port St. John's. One major source of treatment, do away with all the borehole schemes that are sitting there, and that to us would define effective service delivery. The financial performance, I will go very quickly, as indicated, that is contained in our financial statement, a very unqualified report. The key issues, we'll just go through the income statement and saying that, look, revenue, there's been a 9% increase in revenue, and the major segments of our business that have contributed to that revenue is water, wastewater, and what we call support activities, which we call Section 30 activities. In other words, where we're using our expertise to support other people to do better. Let's go quickly. We'll just try and put them all of them because of the constraints in time. We wanted to talk to each and every item, but we'll just put all of them. I think as indicated, our revenue has gone up by 9%. I think the important thing again is again sort of the bottom line, the surpluses that we have actually derived, and again those surpluses are geared to actually refurbish our infrastructure, to pass on an affordable tariff. We believe at Mungeni, not in cost recovery, we believe in a sustainable tariff. A tariff that makes sure that today's consumers don't pay for tomorrow's consumers. So we spread the load in terms of our tariff methodology, and I spoke to that last week. I think I will then just give you, that is also contained in our financial statements. I'm not going to go deeper into it. When we have a dialogue and the portfolio committee is visiting us, we'll go deeper into that particular area. Again, if you look at our balance sheet, we still say that we've got a healthy balance sheet that will be able, that will enable us to carry out all the infrastructure projects that we've put up together. In summary, I think the business, I'm saying the water board last year experienced a sales volume growth of about 8%, an increase in revenue of about 9%. We have managed our expenditure down in total by about 2%, and we have also reduced our borrowing cost, net financing cost, by about 25%. And because, again, we are reducing our borrowing, it makes us to be able even to do more in future. If you look at the improved financial position of the organization, we have improved our cash flows by 17%. We've reduced our debt by 102 million rand. We've reduced our gearing. We have got an upgraded fringe rating, which is very good in the tight financial markets. It means to say that we can borrow money at much more cheaper rates because, again, of the good credit rating. We have got a very good credit rating. The benefits natural of all these things at the end of the day, I think we are very mindful of the question that the portfolio committee asked and say, these improvements at the end of the day, how do they impact the consumer? Mm-hmm. And by all costs, we try and pass that benefit down to the consumers. We have spoken about this in last week's presentation, so we're not going to bore you about the comparative tariffs. We spoke at length about those last week. The strategic priorities, we just want to give the board an overview of what we're thinking going forward. Okay. Look, this is something that I think this portfolio committee keeps on reminding us. It says, they are saying, water boards, how are you responding to the water needs that are sitting out there? And the point we're saying is that leading up to the elections, promises have been made to our communities around water provision. And basically, what started perhaps as a green is starting now to be like that. So water is actually in a crisis, we need to deliver. That's what that slide is saying. It can't be business as usual. And as a result, our strategic priorities are actually addressing that situation. We'd want to see that old man smiling like this when we come around again. The landscape in our area of supply, because it's very important that we don't only talk to these numbers. These numbers must talk to people and communities. What's happening? I think basically what we're saying is that let's not just only look at these numbers. Let's look at the people that need to benefit from this service. And we have looked at our area of supply in terms of municipalities. More especially the information that has come back from South Africa, that tells us the number of people that are still getting their water from rivers and streams. And our capital expenditure program must actually respond to that. And by doing that objective analysis of understanding that, for instance, in KwaMaphumulo, 62% of the people are still getting their water from the rivers and streams. That's why we've been able to respond in KwaMaphumulo with a project that is a dam, a bulk infrastructure, to actually deal with that issue. We've done the same thing in relation of all the municipalities to say, let's not talk about aggregate numbers, let's talk about specific problems and specific challenges at home on that. And as a result, our capital investment program responds to those two. The slide of that man who was very angry and the slide of those tables where we're showing. Our capital infrastructure, you'll see it in the map where it's actually spread. It's not concentrated only at Etegwini. It looks precisely at the areas where water is most needed. We've also indicated projects that are under implementation, under various stages of the implementation in the presentation. And lastly, we've also said that perhaps there needs to be a very big paradigm shift in terms of water resource investment in this country to deal with water for life and move away maybe from the mega projects. Of course, it's a selfish view because we're wanting to supply the people. The mega projects that are about very, we need to have in my dream as a water provider activist in the country is to have one sufficient dam for each category being local municipality. In the olden days, each town used to have its own dam. But ever since we went to world war local government, we are saying people must get water from boreholes. Then those municipalities must forget about the blue drop, because water from the boreholes does not get treated. It does not get chlorinated. Its biological compliance is zero. So we can't be saying we are taking people from the rivers, but only for them to get the same diseases from the dead. So we need to be putting quality provision for rural category B municipalities. And that's my view. But to support the economy. It's because they are of the passionate, and as I'm standing and moving, I want this committee really to say that in my presentation last week, we highlighted key recommendations around what needs to be improved in terms of water service delivery. That speaks to the legislation, and we're not going to repeat that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, with your dreams and everything. I wish all of you can have the same dreams. Dr. Leon, you can't find a layer. Okay, we have now about only 7 minutes left. I'll give that to members just to ask some few questions. I don't know whether people who did hear what the presenter said from Namakwa. Did you hear what he said that? Which I knew about. But I did hear him, ne? He said that the board is non-functional, ne? Yes. Eh? Namakwa. And I was asking myself, and then that report of everything that we have here, where to? Maybe I don't understand. I've recognized Tadus Kosana, Dr. Luyenge, Mamundu Dubagamisi? Okay, Mamundu Uje, Mamundu Zikalala, Honorable Morgan, and Honorable Matet.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, I must say we received very good reports from other water boards. Yeah. And we received reports that contain some problems in other water boards. Now the question which is left is, are we really going to be able to deliver what is expected to deliver to the community? That's the serious question I'm asking to this house. But what I will say, all those who gave us this beautiful and good report, if these reports are the same as what is happening on the ground, then you can go far. If it is not, then it's a problem. More than those who are having problems. I should think, let us not be office-based. Must go back to the masses, all of us. Now, my tie is a pearler. The person, so I beg my tie. Let me stop at some of the pants. We are going to check what you are reporting here. What even you are going to do? We must go and work. One of the things I want to debate, Leila, I hope you will not think about my problems in my office. One of the things that's the real thing. One of the things. The person will just ask two or three questions to Ren. Ren what? Okay. Ren what? It seems in Tembisil and Dr. Mrock, there is a shortage of bulk water, if I'm not mistaken. Because we'll find some of the villages since 98, if not 97, until today, during the evening, they close water because of the shortage. Can you just bring us on board of what is happening in those municipalities? Tembisil and Dr. Mrock. Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. My apology for coming late. Chairperson, the first question goes to the department. There is a lost and found information here, which I got hold of it in the portfolio committee for sport and recreation today.
which I read on page one of that report, that a certain body was directed by the department to fund all costs incurred in the water delivery component of the Lesotho Highlands water project and to undertake financial risk management on behalf of South Africa. I will hand over this document to the chairperson for further scrutiny and interrogation, because really, if this is the real situation, we have a problem in relation to the department being the accountable department to ensure that
water. The city is going to run water projects for us?
Yes. For us, yes. That's what it says. So it must be checked as to how authentic this statement is. It happened to be in that report, Yawa Sport. The report that I've actually listened to here, as they seem to be good, I'm not going to repeat that, but we need maybe to agree on other aspects that need to be covered in an annual report, because there are assets in these boards. We must understand as to whether there are management policies of such asset management policies for the assets that are being owned, the asset register which is updated, and the valuation and disposal thereof in terms of ensuring that there is quality that is being produced. Then also an indication on the part of the public involvement in the activities of these boards. And therefore, the impact of the economic recession has been alluded to by other boards, but others were none. So on the Namakwa, there is a crisis in Namakwa. I don't know if there is no board that is functional there now, and there is an acting CEO who actually appointed that acting CEO, and how authentic the information that you are getting from an institution with that leadership. I'm failing to understand as to whether we will be allowed to actually consider their report. Chair, if I can ask, is there any association of these boards? Because some of the information that we get here becomes so detrimental to other boards, as if they are working in silos, and that does not assist. I mean, what Rainwater is doing should be exactly what other boards like Namakwa should be doing, because here, the co-function or our commitment, all of us here, both the department and parliament, we want to see proper, effective, and efficient delivery of water. Then lastly, you said, it's the issue of assets that are being seeded by Umgeni. If Umgeni is so progressive and they've got some assets, are there any assets that are being seeded for surety? Because there is a decrease of their debt by 25%. So if we are being told here of assets that are being seeded, we cannot regard that kind of information as being progressive. If you still rely to credit of some kind, if you cannot stand on your own 100%.
Thank you very much. Mendude? Thank you very much,
Chair. You know, I think I stand to also concur with the last speaker on the issue of Namakwa, Chair. I think it's really the matter needs a serious attention by the minister. It's really a dire situation. And one gets more worried if you are told that the income is only 9 million and yet the expense is about 26 million. It's a very serious matter, Chair. Having said that, my comments are related to Rainwater. They are talking about aging infrastructure. I would like to know what mechanisms are in place to deal with this matter. I'm very worried, Chair, because Rainwater is one of the biggest water boards in the country. And if they allow the infrastructure to deteriorate like Eskom has done, we have seen the consequences to the ordinary people that they have to carry that. So I would love to know what are they doing about that. The other issue, Chair, that Rainwater have also put forward as one of the concerns or the problems is the issue of the informal settlements. I think that's a matter that really it needs to be maybe the committee also need to raise it with the minister, because seemingly it is interministerial problem. It can't only be the matter of this committee. It cut across other ministries, your human settlement and others. So maybe something that really need to go to, if there's a cluster, maybe of those ministers that be raised, you know, there is one of the issues of concern. Yeah, I think the other, they've responded to the issue of the procurement with the BE. Later they covered that, so I won't go to that. The other matter for me that is of concern that they've raised is the whole issue of skill shortage. I would assume that matter is actually receiving a gender pension, as we've you know, received from other boards, the whole issue of skills shortage. The damage that it does. So I'm just hoping that they've put it as a challenge, but they're addressing the matter. And also the issue of the debt obligation that they've mentioned. I just want to check if they will be able to meet, because, you know, they've raised some IGU this year and others maybe in the coming years, if they can respond to that. The last comment for me, Chair, is on Ungeni, the comment that they've made. I think for me, really, it's another comment that the government as a whole, you know, through our portfolio committee here, that we really need to take it serious. I think there are a number of things, Chair, that were very good previously that were abandoned since after 1994. And I think they are now coming back to bite us. And I think you sort of spoken to the issue of that every municipality used to have its own dam. And now we have got a situation where you don't have. You can, for instance, take the also the whole issue of education, the shortage in terms of skills, because vocational schools were closed and all those things. So if you can listen to that and we take that comment and we are leaving it as a portfolio committee and also the department, you know, Chair, these are some of the things that need to be addressed as we move forward. Thank you very much.
Yes, I think we've run out of time, and so I'm going to make a comment which will be three lines, because we can't really go on like this. I concur with the problems in the NAMQA. I think that this committee needs to have a special session on that where we can interrogate it properly. I don't think there's anything we can do here today. And importantly is, you know, and I'm going to leave it hanging in the air, it would be interested to know what the Department of Water says has done with regards to the NAMQA, actually, because there are clearly some problems. I'm sympathetic to the presenter, who's the acting COO, and we need a briefing and possibly a visit. But I'm not going to ask anything else.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will only ask one question, because I concur with my colleague that we don't have time. My question will be directed to Randolph. I believe you are the biggest water institution, not only in South Africa, but on the continent, that we have managed to really have unqualified audit reports year by year. So we really appreciate the efficiency in your institution. And we think other water boards will really learn from you. But my question is one. On this report, you have alluded to the fact that you have attained the target of preparing to the BEE company. But to my knowledge, most of the BEE companies, the emerging companies, they are really struggling to really get tenders from Randolph. I know of many people who have been complaining to say, even if you meet the grading that is required, you will never be appointed. They only appoint these predominantly big companies. So I know that you might not have the information with you right now, but if you can at a later stage send us really something that will say, in this project, these are the companies that you have appointed, this project, these are the companies that you have appointed, and then we'll really see to it that what you are saying is really what's happening. Because it's not the same with what we are hearing from the outside. Thank you, sir.
We need that next week. We need that information next week for the workshop. Otherwise, if we just leave it as it is, that one day we get the response, we won't get it. So we need it next week.
I because of time, I really don't think that we'll be able to take responses. But those questions that have been raised here, because I know that tomorrow you're not here, we've got other boards tomorrow, but all those questions have been noted. We are expecting then the chairs of the board to give us responses on those. Like the questions last week, the department did give us a list of all the questions that were asked by members of parliament with responses, and then we are going to deliberate on those next week at the workshop. So we'll also ask then the chairs of the board that all the questions that were directed to different boards here, we need to get responses. If next week you're not part of the workshop, usually what we do for questions that have been asked by members, they must then be communicated through my office so that I can give to individual members the response on the questions that they've asked from yourselves. I also agree on the issue of Namakwa. I think we need to assist Namakwa and see how best we can engage even the minister, because I don't understand why the minister is under the impression that there is a board that exists, which is Namakwa, whereas it is what we get today. So there is a lot of work that we need to do together. That is this portfolio committee, with yourselves, of course. But as I have promised when we started here, we are going to visit individual boards starting from August. You'll get the report from us, which ones we are beginning with until early next year. But by the end of the financial year, we need to have visited all the boards, all the 14 boards that exist. Thank you very much. I think we've come to the end of this meeting today, and tomorrow we are continuing with is it same venue? Or next door, number one, room number one, with the remainder of the other boards. And then next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, Monday and Tuesday, we will then be attending to the strategic workshop of the portfolio committee with all those invited.